of X's and Omar presented by Gulfstream Park. Alongside Sun Sentinel Dolphins columnist Omar Kelly, I'm CBS 12 Sports Director Matt Lincoln, and we are live once again here at Gulfstream Park, a different location because we're being protected by the rain. We're right outside the Yard House, so this is actually a great situation for you to come join us and watch us live because you get to hang out at Yard House while also watching us. Great situation, right, guys? Yeah, we've got the crowd here is excited to talk about the biggest win of the year so far, a possible season-changing type of win as the Dolphins go on the road, down 17-0, and beat the reigning NFC champion Falcons.
It's such a testament to who this Dolphins team is under Adam Gase in terms of the resiliency, the never-give-up spirit, the fighting back. However, you know, as impressive as that win is against the Atlanta Falcons, let's not pretend like the Falcons aren't having their own issues. They can't finish games. They're struggling to get Julio Jones involved. They're struggling against the run. And it played into that win for Miami, which obviously sends the Falcons into panic mode and maybe sends the Miami Dolphins fans into overconfidence. Are we title contenders with the worst offense in the NFL?
Well, you say that this is a quality that Gase's teams have had, and there's
absolutely
no doubt.
No question.
11 straight wins in close games. No question this team has that. Well, where was it the last 2 weeks?
Well, they weren't in.
Or 3 or 2 weeks. Where have we seen this season? It hasn't all been there.
Yeah, but I don't think they were in the Jets game. I don't think they were in the Saints game. Those are the two losses this season. I mean, they weren't in those games.
They were at halftime.
They were at halftime, but, you know, in the fourth quarter, which is when this is a fourth quarter team, you know, to me, people will say, oh, they win all these fourth quarter games. They're a great team when it comes to coming back, keeping it all together and playing complimentary football. Great. Yeah, great. I would point to you that there have been 9 games throughout Adam Gase's career as a head coach. And in those 9 games, the Dolphins have a 9-0 record. We're not talking about the unicorn.
Right.
The unicorn is dead, unfortunately. What we're talking about is their ability to run and run consistently. In those 9 games, the Dolphins ran for over 100 yards. As a result of running for over 100 yards, they keep the defense off the field. Less snaps allows them to play fresher. As a result of running for over 100 yards, you keep the play-action passing game alive. Yes, the Dolphins only passed for like 150 yards against the Falcons, but they were efficient 150 yards. You have to run the football in order for this team to have a chance to win games. Bottom line.
That being said, if we're just taking the Falcons game, they ran well in the first half and ran well in the second half, but they only scored in the second half. So
yes.
What was the difference?
Really, it's about efficiency on offense. There were 5 drops. Put that together last week, there were 5 drops. That's 10 drops. Adam Gase pointed out today that his team leads the NFL in dropped catchable balls. Certainly, we know that there are penalty issues, there are protection issues. Offensive line has to get better. They have to get themselves in better, more favorable third down plays. That would help. Once you do that, clean up your game and penalties. Be more efficient on running plays on first and second down, and then be more efficient on third downs by not dropping passes or not having protection issues, you will have a better offense. It's not like they're getting to the red zone and stalling or just not being efficient. They score touchdowns when they get into the red zone. They just have to get themselves there, and to do that, they've got to be successful on third downs.
Right now, Dolphins, one of only 6 teams in the AFC to have a winning record.
Yeah.
And it seems like the narrative, at least the national narrative around the team, has changed this week. There has been some national people that have come out.
They're just
not
poking fun at the Dolphins because they have a cocaine, a white substance snorting head coach.
Fair enough.
Offensive line coach.
Fair enough. Do you think that this is the kind of game that changes the narrative about who the Dolphins are?
Yeah, certainly. At this exact point last year, the Dolphins beat the Pittsburgh Steelers in convincing fashion, and it led to winning 9 of the season's final 11 games. You know, that confidence boost, that injection, oh, we could beat a contender? Wow. We have so much more potential. Let's buy into what these coaches are selling. And it benefited the team overall. Now, you just beat a Falcons team, a second half comeback. You ran the ball effectively against a team you thought should have beat the Steelers last year in the Super Bowl.
Patriots, right?
Yeah. You should feel good about yourself. Now the question is, can you double down and do it against the Jets? Because the Jets are a better physical, more physical team than the Falcons are. If you could do that, run the ball efficiently and own the line of scrimmage against the Jets, you've got a good chance. Now, the problem is you can't be the team that beat the Falcons one week and the team that beat the Jets another week. You got to be consistent and you got to buy into what these coaches are selling.
That leads us right into our first Twitter question. It comes from the real Zalman. Could the win against the Falcons spark the team like the win against Pittsburgh last year? I mean, we didn't obviously know what was going to happen after that Steelers
Everybody
win.
Picked a Steelers win a year ago. Everybody picked a Falcons win a year. I believe the both lines were 13-point underdogs for the yeah. for the Dolphins, which is part of the reason I tell people do not bet on NFL games.
It's crazy.
It's unpredictable. All it takes is one player. Look, are the Green Bay Packers the fearful, formidable Green Bay Packers now without Aaron Rodgers?
No.
Okay. All it takes is one player.
Well, this is the other thing is we don't know.
Yeah.
We would think not. But we've never seen this kid before.
Correct.
And that's the other point, is that, yeah, theoretically, we all think the Packers are going to be bad now.
Yeah.
But they could win this weekend.
Absolutely.
So
you never know, but do I expect this win to jumpstart the season? I do. I don't know if I've said this on X's and Omar's, but I've said from the beginning of the year, I'm not going to evaluate this team after the Ryan Tannehill injury until after we get past the Falcons game. And the reasoning is, Jay Cutler, as much as he knows this offense, chemistry-wise, he's not going to get into a flow with this team in a month or 2 months. Okay, well, right now we're at the three-month pinnacle. All right, it's time. You played five regular season games. You played two exhibition games, but you've been here for 3 weeks. You've been here for 4 weeks. So technically, you're entering into your third month.
Right.
You should be playing like a quarterback who's in his third month.
And that first half, like we talked about earlier, not exactly his fault. I mean, we've outlined how little time he has on third downs. Third down and long have been just
terrible
for the Dolphins.
The interception was his fault. Mm-hmm. He threw it a little bit behind the receiver, even though he was improvising, scrambling forward to sort of evade the pressure. He shouldn't have to scramble forward, but it is what it is. This is what quarterbacks do. People like Cameron Wake get paid to hunt quarterbacks. But he threw it a little bit behind Leonte Carew, and it led to an interception. Okay, these things happen. The question to me is, how does he respond? Are you going to see those plays? Do we see too many back foot throws? Absolutely.
Of course we do.
Yeah, but that's been his game for 12 years.
Right.
Who are we to sit here and say, oh, he's horrible because he throws these back foot throws? He's made $128 million throughout his career making back foot throws.
He's not like, just going to change.
He's not just going to change. Don't use this as an excuse. What you need to do is you need to focus on protecting him better, whether it be more max protection, whether it be more two tight end sets, whether it be more Damian Williams playing, protect him better, and you might see a better quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's because it's been so frustrating I feel like a lot of our shows are dominated by this talk about what needs to be fixed with the offense. But again,
they're the worst in the NFL. You need to talk about what needs to be done to fix the offense.
But once again, the defense played an incredible game. And let's take our next question from Michael Arcuri. If last season's Dolphins had this season's defense, how much of a playoff threat would they have been?
I don't know if they would have been a playoff threat, because the playoff to me is about your matchups. The Pittsburgh Steelers, that's even though the Dolphins beat them early in the year, that's a hard matchup for them in terms of the physicality that they bring, in terms of the weaponry that they have, and on the road. In snowy elements. Yeah, hard matchup. But I can tell you that this Dolphins team is better with Rashad Jones than it is without. We've seen two games now where he's produced game-changing plays. Cameron Wake, a year coming off that Achilles injury, he's still dominant. And then Lawrence Timmons is helping you solidify that run. So to me, you've got good players on all phases of the level of your defense. You should be a good team. You should be a good defense. The question is, can they stay healthy? Because, you know, really you're rotating eight defensive linemen. So their health, I'm not too bothered by it. Linebacker, do you have the rotation for two units? No, you don't. So all three of those linebackers, Kiko Alonso, Lawrence Timmons, and Ray Malaluga, they've got to stay healthy. To me, that's the key to the season.
And remember, no buys.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to, Omar, your favorite game.
Ah! Yes. I don't know how it's been so long that I have not introduced true or false into the X's and Omar script.
Well, let's play some true and false, shall
we? Man, when I ask for true or false questions, they just showered in.
They love them.
They love true or false.
It's easy. All right. Our first question comes from Nick Martinez. The Dolphins defense held Atlanta to 0 points in the second half. True or false, they're legit.
By legit, are you asking me if they're a top 10 defense? I'll let you set the parameters. Or are they a top 5 defense? What is legit?
One of the best defenses in the NFL.
In the NFL, I would say true to that. Now, they need to do two things. They need to stay healthy, because as we mentioned previously, that linebacker unit, there is no room for error right there. Mm-hmm. You got Mike Cole. Not to disrespect Mike, because I like Scrap. I think he's an adequate player, but he's just a fill-in guy.
Right.
Neville Hewitt, who's on your practice squad, just a fill-in guy. Chase Allen, just a fill-in guy. Stephon Anthony, a former first-round pick. You traded a fifth-round pick. Truth is, just a fill-in guy. The three you've got right now are NFL starters. You need those guys on the field. So I think if you stay healthy, and the second component, offense got to give you points. Mm-hmm. This defense is built to play with a lead. You get a lead, you start hunting quarterbacks, pin their ears back. That's how you feast. If Cameron Wake can't do what he does because you're trailing, what's the point?
True. Question from Vin DeMonte. True or false, the Dolphins O-line is better with Pouncey at guard?
I'm going to go with true on this one. And this will be a controversial answer because I personally believe it's a lot more difficult to get a player to play good at guard as opposed to get a player to play good at center. Jake Brendel, not to disrespect what Mike Pouncey does, because Mike Pouncey's one hell of a player at center, but Jake Brendel opened up the holes that gave you those back-to-back Jay Ajayi 18-yard runs in the fourth quarter that allowed you to score the field goal that gave you the win. Jake Brendel. Can Mike Pouncey hold his own at guard no matter who he's facing one-on-one? Yes. Can Anthony Steen hold his own at guard no matter who he's facing one-on-one? No.
Well, doesn't it make you also wonder, why isn't Jake Brendel playing guard? If he's that good of a blocker, why
small.
Is he
he's
backing
about,
up
about
my
this,
Pouncey?
He's, like, he's okay. About this big.
Okay.
I have issues with Anthony Steen's size. Jake Brendel is a monster compared right. to Anthony Steen. I mean, Anthony Steen is a monster compared to Jake Brendel. So I'm not saying that. Does Mike Pouncey want to play guard? Absolutely not.
Right.
But when he has been asked to play guard, he's played it well, and the offense has done well. You got to consider it. I know Mike doesn't want to do it, but to benefit your offense until Lawson comes back and is healthy, you might need to consider it. Because Jake Brendel, and I'm just guessing based on what he's shown you in the second half against the Falcons, Jake Brendel might be a better center than Anthony Steen is a guard.
That makes sense. And you're saying Pouncey would be as good of a guard as he is a center.
Absolutely.
Could that be Unicorns Part 2?
No, the Unicorns are dead.
All right, just asking. Next question from David Nicholas. Dolphins haven't signed an agent veteran who has made a significant impact on the team since Mike Tannenbaum joined the franchise. True or false?
That's false. I'm Lawrence Timmons.
Lawrence Timmons.
Lawrence Timmons addresses that. TJ McDonald, when he comes back in, that's a hell of a signing. They got him for the minimum. They gave him a new contract. I don't know why, but they gave him a new contract before he even stepped on the field with them. But I think that Mike Tannenbaum's done an adequate job. Would I like him to do better? Absolutely. You shouldn't have left this linebacker situation where it was. You shouldn't have left this guard situation where it was. You could have done both better. You could have signed Zach Brown as a linebacker and figured it out where he plays. I understand you want to invest in Raekwon McMillan, and it makes sense, but I'm sorry, you left your team exposed to an injury because your depth was not good enough at linebacker. And don't even get me started on this guard situation in this offensive line. You weaken the unit by releasing Brandon Albert, Laramie Tunsil to left guard. Let's not pretend like Laramie Tunsil is a dynamic killing it out there. He's just getting by. And then your guard situation, Ted Larson's supposed to be the answer. I don't know if he is the answer, but man, that guard situation is a mess.
Julius Thomas a little bit better this past week?
A little bit.
Next.
But I wouldn't count that as a good transaction for Mike Tannenbaum.
A little better.
Yeah.
Next one from Alex Machado. True or false, defensive end William Hayes will make much more next year than the second-year option the Dolphins declined for him.
I believe he opted out of a $4 million. He opted out of the contract,
okay.
Not the Dolphins. Let's get that correct. And I believe he opted out of, it was $4 or $5 million. It wasn't like ridiculous money, but you know, everybody wants to be a free agent. And but the problem is he's old. Right. He's old. So is a $4 million contract going to be what he's going to get because of his age and age discrimination in the NFL? Yeah, absolutely. So I think it's a wash. So I think it's false. He will not make more money than what the what he had on this contract.
Right. Next one from Justin Roach. True or false, Miami has an above average linebacker unit that we can rely on week in and week out?
I think that is false, and it pains me to say false. The problem is I got to expect an injury.
Yeah.
When have we gone through a Dolphin season without an injury at linebacker?
Perfect,
now,
specific.
Lawrence
already
Timmons.
Had one.
Yes.
Raekwon McMillan's not out there.
Okay, yeah. No, I'm counting the guys who start the season.
Oh, I'm just saying he would have been a starter to the season.
True.
So they've already had to make
excellent
a change for
point.
That.
They played two games without Lawrence Timmons. Okay, that was a struggle in itself. And then this, you know, but Kiko Alonso, come on. Let's not pretend like there isn't always something with Kiko Alonso. So I'm going to say it's false. Could this linebacker unit finish the season elite if they stay together and play all six, play whatever remains of the games? I think it's 11. Yeah, I'm good at math.
Yes.
Not really. yes, absolutely. But will they stay elite? They stay healthy for all remainder of the season? Not really. Mm-hmm. Odds are against them. This Dolphins team has been very fortunate in injuries. You have not, since the season has begun, you have not had a single player suffer a season-ending injury. That might be a new record for this franchise.
Well, it might just mean one's coming.
True.
But remember how
law of averages.
What the Dolphins had to deal with last year and still made the playoffs.
Question True. From Next man up.
Question from KD Dolphin. True or false? Miami's coaches have no faith in Kenyon Drake on offense.
True.
Yeah. Where is he?
He doesn't deserve to play. And no shade on Kenyon Drake, but you know, Adam Gase talked about knowing your assignment, trying not to do too much. Anytime he gets in the game, he tries to do too much. I think the focus for Kenyon Drake needs to be get good at your job. Right now, their kickoff return game and punt return game, mediocre.
Yeah.
Get better at that. He is a gunner. Get better at being a gunner on special teams. When you get better at special teams and you show that, hey, it's not too big for me, then they'll put more on his plate. That's how I've generally approached it with young players.
All right, next one from Darth Dabber.
Darth Dabber.
All right, I've got to switch this to a true and false question. True or false, Jay Ajayi will catch a pass at some point.
He will. Whether it be an effective pass or an impactful pass, I'd say no. As many passes as Jay Ajayi has caught at Boise State during his career, he's a mediocre pass catcher in the NFL.
What, mediocre compared to offensive linemen or mediocre compared to other running backs in the NFL?
Mediocre compared to
what he's shown is a little below mediocre when it comes to NFL running backs.
He should not be in the game as a third down back. I know you want to prove that you are an all-purpose three down back and that you are a pro bowler and you can do it all. Well, you did that last year with Damian Williams being the third down back. Damian's a superior blocker. He's a superior pass catcher. He's not a superior runner, but on third down.
But he can make plays on third and four. If they decide to give him a draw, it's not a total loss.
Jay Ajayi, here's how I best explain it to the novices. Jay Ajayi gives you a ton of yards after contact. But that's not him making a guy miss. That's him shedding a tackle. Damian Williams can make a guy miss. He will juke and make a guy miss.
Right.
That's not Jay's game. So if you want to be good on third downs, you need the guy who can juke and make a guy miss.
All right. Let's move on and talk a little bit about the Jets, one of the most confounding teams in the NFL.
They're not supposed to be as good as they are.
They're not. And they are 3-3 after season still seems relatively new, and this is the second time we're going to be done with the Jets already.
I wish they would play the Patriots a little bit earlier because, man, do I want the Dolphins to play the Patriots? They are hemorrhaging right now. They're struggling.
Defensively, it's bad.
Yeah.
It's bad.
You're playing the Jets at the worst time because they have got confidence. They've got belief. They should have beaten the Patriots. They're looking hot. They've won three games since they beat the Dolphins. And they should be feeling good about themselves.
What has happened to the Jets since they beat the Dolphins?
They've injected confidence into their team. When you're a young coaching staff and you're coaching young players, you have to have proof. What I tell you works because of this. Mm-hmm. We did it and we won this game. That's what helped Adam Gase get to that turnaround last season. Todd Bowles has a young, super young team. Yes, he's got the Matt Fortes and the McCowns, you know, in important parts of the elements of this team. The rest of the team is relatively young. And when they see that, hey, if we own the line of scrimmage and beat up teams in the trenches, we have a chance to win, which is what they did with against the Dolphins, it injects hope and belief. And they've won the line of scrimmage even in some of their losses, including the Patriots game.
And McCown's serviceable. I mean, there's a reason why he keeps on getting starting jobs in the NFL. He's not bouncing around as a backup. He's bouncing around as a starter because he can make plays, and that's not the NFL's best receiving group.
Where his strengths come is when he makes plays when the pocket breaks down and he's improvising and he's rolling out. He'll throw it downfield. He's got a little Matt Moore in him in terms of the aggressiveness of his style. He can be a game manager, but when the broken plays, he's going downfield, and it's really benefited that Jets offense.
That's interesting that you bring that up because you almost feel like Matt Moore could have had Josh McCown's career. He could have bounced around.
Who says
around.
He couldn't?
Well,
Matt
Moore's career
saying.
Is that he's happy being the Dolphins' backup. Josh McCown's career has been, I'm not happy being a backup. I want to bounce around and try to be a starter.
True.
And I don't have the numbers. I don't know how many more games in his career Josh McCown has started over Matt Moore, but it feels like a lot.
Yeah, he's always in a position where whether not even just choosing the right team, but, you know, it's not hard to beat out a batch of rookies and young, unproven players, which is what the Jets have. But he's also been in play situations like Chicago where, you know, where the quarterback goes down, Jay Cutler goes down, and he finishes out the year as a starter and produces over 100 passer rating. I think he's a serviceable starter. Am I scared of him? Yeah, on broken plays. But the rest of the game, I just know he's just going to be a game manager.
What's the biggest takeaway from the Dolphins' loss to the Jets?
I think the biggest takeaway was that you got beat up at the line of scrimmage. Mm-hmm. Whether it be they put a safety in the box and you weren't bold enough to throw it and you ran it. C'est la vie. It is what it is. You got to learn from those mistakes and not expect Todd Bowles to do the same thing you did in week one and week two. Todd Bowles is a better coach than that. But you've got to win the trenches and win the line of scrimmage. That's where you lost the game last year, and you got to do better.
All right, let's take some more of your questions. This is from Oliver Larkin. Where's the most potential for improvement through the remainder of the season?
To me, it really comes down to the wide receivers. They've got to do a better job of catching the catchable passes. They've got to do a better job of getting open. The coaching staff has to do a better job of putting Jarvis Landry in plays to get one-on-one matchups deeper down the field. Drags, deep digs, comebacks. You know, Jarvis Landry isn't just a slot receiver. Do more with him. And then it comes to the offensive line. We know that they've got to do better job at pocket protection, and Ted Larson is the only hope. He's going to be available after that Oakland game, week 9. He's going to be available to practice at some point within the next 2 weeks, but he's only going to be cleared to play in game number 9, and I'm curious to see if he can be that missing piece that helps this offensive line get to respectable.
Devontae Parker, day-to-day, Adam Gase said today, still doesn't know whether or not he's going to play this week.
I think if he doesn't practice 2 times this week, there's no chance that he's going to play. We'll see how that goes. I think it's better. To me, the one injury that you do not play a wide receiver with is an ankle injury, just from this standpoint. They need their ankles to cut and break to create separation from wide receivers, from defensive backs. A wide receiver who can't create separation is not a good wide receiver.
All right. Let's take our next question from Charles McKay. Why can't Miami ever get the screenplay to work? Hasn't worked all season. What are we doing wrong and everyone else gets right?
You know, the number one thing that the Dolphins need to focus on are the screens, setting up screens to the backs, either Jay Ajayi or Damian Williams. And they've got to not telegraph what they're doing. That's an important part. As I said earlier in the show, I need Damian Williams to be more of a third down back. You were effective last year offensively when Damian Williams was in the game, 6 touchdowns. He gives you plays. He gives you first down conversions. He gives you, third down conversions. So to me, Damian Williams is the key. And then Jarvis Landry and Kenny Stills, the bubble screens. They run them, and it's really a quarterback option. It's a read option. People have to understand that play isn't called for Jay Ajayi or Ryan Tannehill to throw to the sideline and then get the protection. It's based on the defense that the defense shows and how far off the cornerback is. The problem is defensive coordinators are intentionally giving it to the Dolphins.
Right.
And the Dolphins view it as a run play. But they're intentionally giving it to the Dolphins knowing that Kenny Stills cannot block it adequately.
Right.
And it is what it is. I would love to see, if we're going to continue to do it, which the Dolphins clearly are, put Leonte Carew out there with Jarvis Landry or Kenny Stills and then see what happens from it. But it's been a play that teams have seen from last year, and they play called to take it away, to give it to the Dolphins so that they can take it away.
For Carew to block or for Carew to make the catch?
For Carew to block.
Carew to block.
For Carew to block.
Okay. Let's take our next question from Emmett Benley. Would you draft a QB in the first round?
You know, this is a question that's going to continue to percolate throughout my entire career as a Dolphins analyst. No, I wouldn't. And here's the problem that I have with drafting a quarterback in the first round. None of them are game changers. None of them will be elite, got to go up there and get them. And if they aren't that kind of talent, I don't want them. On top of that, the Dolphins have two competent quarterbacks. Matt Moore isn't under contract, but Matt Moore's proven throughout the course of his career he's not interested in going anywhere else. So you're good with Matt Moore. Why do you need more than two capable starters? Now, do the Dolphins need somebody better than I forget what the kid's Western Kentucky, his name, Doughty?
Yeah, Doughty.
Brandon Doughty? Do they need somebody better than Brandon Doughty to develop? Absolutely. But you don't have to use a first-round pick to go out there and get it.
All right, two questions from that.
All right.
We're sure that Matt Moore is not butthurt that they signed Jay Cutler and didn't give him the reins.
Did he seem butthurt after he signed, he just gave Jay Cutler the ball and said, here, enjoy the team.
Okay. All right, just checking.
Matt Moore, shed a tear for Matt Moore if you'd like. He's made $28 million.
All right. Second question.
Sitting on a bench.
Second question. You said multiple times that the Dolphins players that you've talked to believe Jay Cutler to be a much better quarterback than Ryan Tannehill.
Mm-hmm.
So how do the Dolphins go back to Ryan Tannehill?
Ryan Tannehill still has upside, promise, development, talent. Still hasn't peaked to where he's going to be as a quarterback. Why would you pull the plug on that investment just because he's going to make $18 million?
Okay.
Having a quarterback is better than not having a quarterback. And I guarantee you Ryan Tannehill will be head and tails better than any quarterback coming out in this year's draft.
Okay.
It's not to say that he's going to be a franchise changer, difference maker, world beater, lead your team to the Super Bowl, but he's better than what your options are.
All right.
And as long as that remains the case, he's going to get his $18 million check.
And the answer to that question does not change no matter what happens the rest of this season?
No, I don't think so. I think Jay Cutler's shown it's time.
Okay.
Jay Cutler's, I can't see Jay Cutler playing two or three more years. And if your quarterback's not going to be here for two or three more years, why continue to invest in him? Unless Jay Cutler leads this Dolphins team to the Super Bowl, which I just don't see happening.
So do you hear that, everybody?
Yes.
Do not send us questions from now until the draft about whether the Dolphins should draft a quarterback in the first round. Omar is going to answer it like he just answered it. Save this
tape. It's not going to stop the question.
Just, it's not going to change.
As long as Jay Cutler has a 76 quarterback rating, the questions are going to keep coming.
It's not going to change. Prediction time.
I am predicting a Dolphins 21-17 victory. And here's the reason I give you 17 points. I think the Dolphins know exactly what they need to do to contain the Jets. You stop the run, stop Matt Forte, stop Bilal Powell. You make them one-dimensional. You got to survive the Josh McCown big plays. But if you could do that, you'll pretty much win the game.
So you're saying 17 points is a good defensive showing?
Yes, a good I mean, anytime you limit a defense to less than 21 points, which the Dolphins have done for all of this season.
Yeah. They have not let a team score over 20 points yet. And that's why... I think 17 points is over their average.
Yeah.
So I think they're going to be even better than their average. It's going to be a 23-10 Dolphins win over the Jets this
weekend. Boy, would that get Dolphin fans excited. Beating the Jets at home in a dominant fashion, that's pretty impressive.
It's going to happen.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks to a Gulfstream Park for this phenomenal setting once again. And, of course, if you are watching us live, you can send us questions using the hashtag XOmar for X and Omar Overtime. Also, you can search for... X and Omar on iTunes to listen to the podcast if you don't want to see our ugly mugs.
All right. I think I'm quite pretty. I'm just
Everyone
saying.
Knows that's what you think.
All right.
Thanks so much for watching.